Blog Talk Radio. My special guest today will open your eyes to these amazing possibilities. So hello, everyone. I'm Lauren Leibowitz, and welcome to Blog Talk Radio and How to Be Comfortable in Your Own Shoes. It is Thursday, October 7th, and once again, we are coming to live from Los Angeles, as I do every Thursday at 3 p.m. Pacific Time. Thank you for joining us, and we love to hear from you, so please call in to listen live or ask questions at 347-857-2710. That number again, 347-857-2710. And if you have any comments, questions, or ideas for our show, we'd love to hear from you also via email. And you can email me directly at goodvibeexperience@gmail.com. That's goodvibe, V-I-B-E, experience, at gmail.com. Well, my guest is back by popular demand. He's been here before, and it's because of our listeners. You have spoken out, and you wanted to know more about my guest today and his work. Mark Gravel is here today, and he practices and teaches hypnotherapy at the Hypnosis Motivation Institute in Los Angeles. He's an international hypnotherapist. It's amazing. He has found his way to hypnotherapy from his work in the music business by playing bass for Florence Henderson, who was married to John Kappas, the founder of the Hypnosis Motivation Institute. And Mark has been helping his clients work on the relationships, insomnia, and so much more. So please welcome back to our show one of our favorites, Mark Gravel. Hey, Mark.
Hi, Lauren.
How are you?
I'm doing pretty good.
Pretty good. Come on, you're fabulous. You're a hypnotherapist.
I know.
There's no excuse.
That's right. That's true.
It is true. It is true. And last time we talked about what hypnotherapy is all about, but today I think I'd like to, not that we won't maybe go into detail and explain to our listeners who are new to the show exactly what it is that you do, but you have a very interesting program called Mental Bank, and that can change our subconscious and therefore our behavior. So why don't you just kind of briefly explain hypnotherapy, and let's talk about this Mental Break program.
Okay, well, it's actually a relatively simple and very direct and practical approach to helping people change things. Basically, somebody comes to me and they may want to change something in their lives or improve their lives in some way, but they don't quite know how to create that change themselves. So after we decide, after they tell me what they want to change, then I'm going to explain what motivates their behavior from a subconscious level, okay, and bring it into conscious awareness. Now, because then we've got a much better shot at creating the change.
Let's pick an example so we can maybe take do a little step by step.
Sure.
What might be? What's a common?
I think we talked about this last time, but it's a pretty good example about someone who procrastinates something.
That seems universal.
It's a pretty common problem. Actually, procrastination is just simple human nature.
Okay? Why is it simple human nature?
Because we operate on what is known as a pain-pleasure principle.
Okay, that's a show for the evening, Mark.
Well, no. Basically, we as human beings, without much conscious thought, we seek out comfortable things, enjoyable things. But the key word here is we avoid discomforting things or painful things or even fearful things. So in effect, it's normal because everyone does operate on a pain-pleasure principle. But once a person becomes consciously aware that that's what's affecting their behavior, then we can create a strategy to overcome the procrastination. Okay?
Well, that's good to know, because I think, like you said, it's human nature, so I know I have procrastination tendencies, and it's nice to know that it's not my fault, in a sense. You know what I'm saying? That it's part of the human experience.
Yeah. Everyone procrastinates to a certain extent.
Okay. So now that we've identified the item we want to change, what is the next step?
Okay, the next step, actually, I'm going to state, if you will, a behavioral definition of procrastination.
Okay.
Okay. And it's avoidance due to some perceived, that's a key word, perceived, discomfort, fear, or pain. All right?
Okay.
Making sense so far?
Absolutely.
Okay. So to overcome it, one of the things we can do is help the person change their perception of whatever this task might be. Okay?
Here's a perfect example. You know, the economy is such, people are out of work and they really have to go to task and create a resume and start to find employment for themselves.
Right.
So how would you change that perception of I'm out of work, but I don't want to procrastinate because there really isn't anything? They're kind of self-sabotaging themselves.
Yeah, they are self-sabotaging if that's what they think. See, a person like that, first of all, needs to realize that they do have a job, and their job is finding a job.
Exactly,
And so they need to commit to spending a certain amount of time searching for that job in whatever field that might be.
Okay.
So we would want them, say, to commit at least, say, two-hour periods of time a day to that search. And if they did that, first of all, they'd start feeling better about themselves because they're doing something.
But how did you change their perception about needing to search for work?
I didn't yet.
Okay.
No. One of the things that you could do in the case of that, I'm going to ask the question and then answer it.
Okay.
What would prevent a person from looking for a job who needs a job? It's a pretty good question.
Oh, I'm sorry. Repeat that again.
What would prevent a person who needs to look for a job, what would prevent them from looking for a job? And the answer is fear of rejection.
That's true. That's a possibility, absolutely.
Right. So we can use the tool of hypnosis to get them to be suggestible to becoming more rejection-proof.
Oh, I like this. This is going great.
Yep.
Like you're superhuman or something. I'm rejection-proof.
Well, I wouldn't want to. You wouldn't want to be 100% rejection-proof because then you wouldn't have any emotional feelings.
But it's the way in which you deal with the rejection. Is that correct?
That's right. Yeah. It's how you handle it.
Okay.
And so one of the suggestions I would give somebody like that when they're in hypnosis is that we want you to remind yourself to not take it so personally if someone doesn't give you the job that you want. Because taking things personally is one of the problems that causes people problems. and it creates a lot of negative emotions, anger. And it's just one of those negative emotions.
Well, I get, and it prevents people from moving forward because they're stuck in that.
Yeah.
Then they become the victim and wallow in that for a while, and it's so non-productive.
See, well, you mentioned a good word there, because if a person considers themselves a victim, they're preventing themselves from really being happy because they're blaming others, and it seems like they're powerless when, in fact, they're not powerless. They have power to do things. So that's my job, is to convince them that they do.
But why do you think people feel that they are powerless? Is that a belief that has been instilled in them from their parents?
In a certain sense, a person who gets laid off for no reason of their own, just because a company maybe wants to cut down on their employees, they are a victim of it, aren't they?
In that sense, sure, because it was uncontrollable. They didn't have anything to do with it.
That's right. But if they think of themselves as a victim, they're less likely to do anything about it. And so it's my job to convince them that they don't have to live in victimhood, if you will, that there are things that they can do within their power to replace that job with something else, with another job.
No, I'm all for it. I'm with you on that one, but I think sometimes a lot of people, there are victims with benefits, meaning that people perhaps subconsciously feel that when you're in the victim, you get attention because that you have a self-pity party, and so then sometimes friends, family are there with you, but
Then I would ask that person a question. Does this self-pity seem to work for you? And in a sense, it maybe it does, but in a certain sense, it does. They get something for it. Nobody does anything for no reason. But it might be better if they did something else. Okay? Like look for a job. But if that person were to become, like I said, more rejection-proof, then that would change their perception of looking for a job. It would make it less painful, if you will, less emotionally painful.
If you take the emotional aspect out of it.
Mm-hmm. That's right. And that's what you would want to do.
So how does the is that where this mental bank program comes in?
Well, actually, it can, yes. First of all, for your guest, I want to remind you that you can view a free class on this. It's a two-hour free streaming video class, and you find it by going to www.mymentalbank.com.
Okay.
It's mymentalbank.com. You need a high-speed internet for it. And it, on that site, you can even download the software for it if you don't happen to have it.
You can download the high-speed internet? No, that's not right. But whatever
software. The software. The program that you need to view it. Usually, you need QuickTime Player.
Okay, QuickTime.
Yeah. I'm not absolutely sure about that, but I think that's what you need, and you need an updated version of QuickTime Player. But it's free, okay? And the class is free.
No excuses. No procrastination.
Well, that's it. At HMI, that's the Hypnosis Motivation Institute, they have a pretty unusual business model. They actually give away a lot of stuff. And also for your listeners, if somebody has an interest possibly, and finding out more about hypnosis and perhaps changing careers, they can take a free class on it. It's a free four-night class. They give it away.
That's very interesting.
It is, isn't it?
But there's a subconscious reasoning behind it. It's the study of human nature and of people.
Yeah, it's to get bodies in there.
It's to get bodies in there. Yeah.
But once they're there and they begin to understand how this thing, this whole thing called hypnosis, really works, then their interest is generally piqued.
Absolutely, I think it's we as humans, or I should just speak for myself, have the capacity with our subconscious, our mind, everything to do so much, but we don't use the amount that we're given. So
no, we don't.
And here's an opportunity to have what we say we want in our life, and how to get it, how it can be easy and effortless in the sense that. There are tools available, and you just have to show up. That's the number one thing.
I think Woody Allen said half of success is showing up.
but it's true.
It is true.
And I think that seems to be the hardest thing for most people.
Yes.
Is a commitment, and I guess, and also, people feel that there's a stigma about being hypnotized. They feel that they can't
because
go under.
The general public is very misinformed about what hypnosis is and how it works.
Your approach to hypnosis?
Well, I explained to people that if they got to sleep the previous night, they hypnotized themselves. They didn't realize it, but that's what they did. When you lay down to go to sleep, for instance, you know, the mind kind of wanders for a while, but when your muscles relax and your thoughts turn to thoughts that are associated with relaxation, you have actually, at that point, put yourself in hypnosis. And then that's what draws a person into really, like, unconscious sleep, you know, kind of sleep.
Right, when they're out.
Yeah, yeah. But if you were to refer to any psychiatric book on sleep, you would see the word hypnoidal stage prior to sleep.
Hypnoidal?
Hypnoidal, H-Y-P-N-O-I-D-A-L. It's a light stage of hypnosis.
So if somebody wanted to change their life, I guess they would have to play some kind of tape when they're what's your role?
I generally do make a recording for most of my clients so they can re-listen to the hypnosis part of the session, because one of the ways we learn is simple repetition.
And I guess that's why they say when you're studying for something, it's best to study before you go to bed at night, because you will retain it.
Well, yes and no. I have a whole article about how to study on my website, incidentally. And I think
what a great segue that was.
Well, I'm telling you. There is, and it's titled Studying in Hypnosis. People don't realize that when they study for too long a period of time, they actually put themselves in hypnosis, and the studying becomes very inefficient. So I recommend in there, don't study for more than 30, 35 minutes at a time, and then take a break.
Interesting. That's interesting. Now, where can people, what is your web address where people can find out this article?
It's Mark Gravel, MarkGravelle.com.
Wonderful.
There's lots of articles there.
I know you had a very interesting article on your Behavior Biz newsletter where you talked about the law of detachment.
Right.
And
well,
being a woman of a certain age, I can so relate to trying to remember the names of people, places, things. Where did I put my glasses or what have you?
Right.
And every time I try to do it, it becomes harder and harder. So explain, what is the law of detachment?
Well, that's kind of a spiritual law. And the way the law of detachment works, the actual wording of it, and this comes from Deepak Chopra's Seven Spiritual Laws of Success, and it was expanded on by Eckhart Tolle in a book called The Power of Now. And so I use these concepts with my clients. But the way the law of detachment works is that you can have anything you want in the physical universe as long as you're willing to release your attachment to it. In other words, I'll give you the most common example, everyday example of how detachment works. Okay?
Okay.
Did you ever notice that when you're trying to remember something, the harder you try, the more difficult it becomes?
Exactly.
The trying is the attachment to it, not the detachment to it. But if a person says, hey, you know what? I'm going to let it go. It'll pop into my head. It usually pops into your head.
That's true.
It is true. Okay? So so what detachment means is don't try to overly control things. Don't worry about things. That's a big deal. How to get people to, you know, some people are just chronic worriers.
Well, we're in a particular worry economy.
Well, that's true, but it won't do you any good because it doesn't accomplish anything. I often give people a suggestion when they are in hypnosis that we want you to replace worrying with concentration, focus, and follow through on solutions. Stick with the solution, not with the problem.
I think that is the best piece of advice that you can give anyone.
It does,
because if you have a confrontation with someone, if something happens at your work environment, it's always about, it's not what he said, she said, it's about identifying that problem and then finding the solution.
Bingo. Couldn't agree more.
Well, it's true. It's sometimes perhaps a challenging concept to grasp, but I think...
Yes, it is.
If you really dissect the issue and not take it personally...
Right.
In a sense, I mean, look, we're human, so we might have erred in a way, but it's not personal. So
that's right.
How do we find a solution? And those are questions that one needs to ask, and instead of pinpointing blame.
Right. Often improving our lives does mean asking the right question. That's my job, is to know what the right question is.
Well, I also think what you're very good at also, and it's hard for a lot of people, is listening.
That's true. In fact, the article I'm writing now, I'm in the midst of writing, is I titled it Listening with a Question Mark, and then Really with Two Question Marks, because people don't actually listen to themselves.
Yeah, they don't hear you.
They don't hear themselves. The biggest thing that people don't hear themselves is when they're negative with themselves. And that's the biggest thing that keeps people stuck and not being able to improve their lives, is negative self-talk.
But don't you think that that's what they do hear, is that little, the ego saying, see, I told you couldn't do it, or you'll never be anything. And that other little voice that says, yoo-hoo, I'm over here, of course you can.
Yeah, that's what Eckhart Tolle explains in The Power of Now, is that we have to fight this ego voice that we all have built into our heads. Everybody's got it. But there are ways of dealing with it so it doesn't keep us stuck in
What's one of the ways? What tip can you give our listeners to calm that negative voice?
Okay. One of the ways, what the real power now is being in the present moment. Okay, that's what the essence of the power now is. It's being very much here, now, right now. And so I have them do an exercise and repeat it. The exercise goes like this. It's 3:25 p.m. on October 7th, 2010. I am in the present moment. My ego cannot drag me into the past, and it cannot force me to worry about the future. I literally have that written out on a piece of paper for my clients. And then take three deep breaths. In fact, do this, Lauren, and
no, I'm not going to be responsible for the heavy breathing on the phone. Okay,
well,
so take three deep breaths.
No,
okay.
Yeah, take three deep breaths. Now, on the exhale, the first one, just say the word calm.
To myself?
Yeah.
Okay.
Or to me.
All right. Calm.
Take another deep breath, saying the word relaxed on the exhale.
Relaxed.
And one more deep breath, saying the words in control on the exhale.
In control.
How do you feel?
Calm, relaxed, and in control.
Right, that's the point.
Boy, that's easy.
No kidding. It is easy. I think the simplest things are the most effective things, quite honestly.
Why? Right, but why is it we make it difficult for ourselves?
The ego.
Ah,
it always comes back to the ego. The ego has two strategies, to keep us stuck in the negative past conditioning of our lives or to cause us to worry about the future. But it can't function in the present moment. That's the reason for staying in the present moment most of the time. Now, one of the strategies for dealing with the ego is you can give it a name. Often we learn to talk to ourselves negatively from maybe somebody in our family or somebody who is critical and negative to us.
Right.
And the strategy is when you start hearing that negative voice, to say, okay, Uncle Charlie, you can talk all you want, but I'm not going to listen to you.
Yeah, I tell my ego to go shopping. Here's a few bucks. Have a great day.
That's not a bad way to do it. If it works, it works.
Well, I think what I hear you saying is you have to identify it.
Yes, you have to start hearing it. And a lot of people don't hear it. And they don't hear themselves talking negatively to themselves. I'll give you an example. Here was the thought process, which thankfully is no longer his thought process. This person is a very successful person in the music business. And he happened to actually go through a divorce because his ex-wife was extremely abusive, and he just couldn't take it anymore. But the voice in his head kept telling him, you're a failure. You know, you should have stayed with her. And really, in evaluating that relationship, she was really abusive. And it was the healthier thing for him to get out of that relationship.
Right.
So he kept hearing that you're a failure voice in his head, even though he's extremely successful in the music business. But he lets that other voice dominate, and it causes all kinds of negative body reactions.
Well, I think when we hear those voices in a weird way, I think we allow it to validate who we are because we have other experiences that may not turn out the way we want them to. And so when we hear that ego, we say to ourselves, oh, you see, it's right. Of course. Of course that's true, because look what happened in this relationship for me. It didn't work out. So then you tend to believe it.
Yes, that's true. But I am suggesting that the more you talk back to that voice, the better a person will function.
So we as an example, we can treat it like a person and say, I hear you, but I don't respect what you say, or I'm not going to listen to what you say. So I don't hear you, and please leave. Or I mean, would that be an example?
Yes. Yes, it would. Okay. But, you know,
you have so far given us so many different opportunities and ideas to be clear in our minds of all that detritus, all the trash that we're trying, we've been trying to get rid of. And I think the first thing to do is identify what it is, and to really sit down with ourselves, that the change does begin with you.
But see, think about what we're actually talking about changing. We're changing our conscious awareness, period.
I guess you would have to make somebody aware of that if they don't.
Right.
That would have to resonate with them.
Right.
So physically, the way somebody sits, their posture, is that also a sign to you about how you can work with somebody on a particular problem if that client can't articulate why they're there?
Oh, yeah, I can find it out, of course.
So there's no keeping secrets with you.
Well, see, what people usually get from me is that I don't judge their behavior. And that's a key element to it.
Well, of course. You're there to aid them.
You're there to help them. Okay. Here's what we're going to need to change this. You know, here's what's going to happen if we're going to change this.
You know what? We have a caller. And
okay.
I'm going to clue into our caller because I know there's an interesting question. We've discussed so many wonderful things. So let's welcome our caller to the show.
Okay.
Hello, caller.
Hello.
You're on the line with Lauren and Mark Gravel.
Yeah, you know, I'm enjoying the conversation. And I have to say that I have done a lot of that where literally you have to yell at the ego, you know, WTF. I mean, sometimes you're doing something completely unrelated, and the ego comes in and just says something. I mean, it isn't even related, you know. I just have had those poor moments when I've gotten conscious enough, like you're talking about, to catch it, and then just go, okay, I mean, this is ridiculous. But what I wanted to ask Mark, if he could address the issue of sleeping problems, because I have a very active mind. I'm a very creative person. I can go to sleep, but I can't stay asleep. I'll wake up sometime between 3 and 4, and then once the mind goes in, that's it. It's like, blah, 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 and then what about that idea for that? Can't go back to sleep sometimes till 6 in the morning.
I have very good news for you. Okay. Now,
can I listen to you? You know, I'm going to listen to you on the broadcast. How's that instead of staying on the phone? Because I'll hear you better on the broadcast than myself.
Well, no, why don't you stay on?
Okay.
Okay. Okay.
Stay on, caller. We love hearing from you.
Yeah. There's a couple of reasons why people wake up at night. And one is simple worrying about tomorrow.
Uh-huh.
That's the ego voice in the head at work while we're asleep. And it can really, it can trigger us, you know, out of sleep. Think of it this way. Kids have a very difficult time going to bed on Christmas Eve because they know they're going to get presents in the morning.
Mm-hmm.
So they're so excited it's hard for them to get to sleep. All right?
Right.
But now we take an adult who has various things going on in their lives. One of the things that can trigger them out of unconscious sleep is simple worrying. So one way to handle that is to tell yourself this. Tell yourself before you initially go to sleep, I refuse to worry during my sleep state. I deserve my peaceful, restful sleep.
Got it. Mm-hmm.
That's beautiful.
Yes.
You see, in effect, as you're going to sleep, you're in hypnosis, so you're giving yourself a really positive suggestion in hypnosis.
Okay. Great.
Okay, I refuse to worry during my sleep state. I deserve my peaceful, restful sleep. Now, there's something else that can trigger a person out of unconscious sleep that most people are not aware of. And what that could be is a blood sugar drop. Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Now, see, if a lot of people, for instance, will eat ice cream before they go to sleep, and if they eat ice cream or other kinds of sugary things before sleep, they're actually setting themselves up for a blood sugar drop. And when the blood sugar drops during sleep, that can wake a person up. So I would suggest that you have a small protein snack within a half an hour of going to sleep.
You know, you're absolutely right. I do. I like to snack on popcorn, something starchy, popcorn or ice cream, before I hit the sack. And sometimes I don't get home from work till I teach at night, so I don't get home from work till like 11, and I'm kind of jacked up from the class, and then I'm eating something. Yeah, you're right.
Okay. So you're better off with some sort of protein snack within a half an hour of going to sleep. And that should do it for you. Both of those things should do it for you. Now, I want to tell you what to do if you do happen to wake up, how to get back to sleep.
Okay.
All right?
I've got it. I got my pencil going.
Okay. What you do is you concentrate on your normal breathing. Really become aware of your normal inhale and your normal exhale.
Uh-huh.
And then on the exhales only, start saying a mantra to yourself.
Okay, on the exhale, okay.
On the exhale only. Now, see, you have to concentrate to do this, and so the effect of it will be to slow down your mind.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and the mantra is simple. Peaceful, restful, sleep. And then repeat it. You probably won't get through 10 repetitions before you get back to sleep.
Oh, wow. Okay. Better than sheep.
How about that?
That's right. Well, you know, because the sheep can
talk. Sheep are protein, though. Sheep are protein. So we'll have to do lamb before I do that.
Okay. So that's two strategies there, which I've found to be very effective with my clients.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, talk about a segue. If you go to my website, there's a page there, Insomnia Solutions.
Oh, okay, great.
And that website is www.markgravelle.com.
Right.
Okay.
Right. Okay.
I'll go there. So it's called Insomnia. Well, I'll see the word Insomnia nowhere.
Insomnia
right.
Solutions. Or
so
if
Mark,
you Google,
isn't this a major problem for a lot of people, insomnia?
Sure is.
Well, thank you, Mark. I'm going to jump off so you can finish your discussion. I really appreciate the information and the blood sugar thing. I would never thought about that. Thank you so much.
I know.
Thank you, Laura.
I know.
Thank you for calling in.
Okay, bye-bye.
Bye.
Bye.
Wow, that was very helpful advice and simple.
It's very simple. The simplest strategies are the most effective, I think.
You're right, because it's basic enough to remember. And
right.
I didn't know the blood sugar drop. That's very interesting. I didn't realize
that.
Oh,
it is. People are generally unaware of how their blood sugar works and how it affects their everyday functioning. And so...
But it's interesting that the caller said that she occasionally or usually when she does wake up, wakes up between 3 and 4. And I've often heard that if you do wake up between 3 and 4, that is, I guess, if you're a spiritually minded person, the most spiritual time of the day that you should get up and be creative.
If that works for a person, then it works. Then you don't have to fix it.
But that's good to know, because I think we all, you know, there again, worry came up again. We worry, and it affects our life. And if you don't get enough sleep, that affects you on so many other levels also, besides not being well rested.
Yeah.
They were just talking about how sleep deprivation can cause you to gain weight.
Sure.
That we all have our a minimum number of sleep that we each need. Some need more, and some need less. So,
Mark, you have to find out what works for you.
Exactly. Again, you are so fascinating. I think I just want to be a fly on the wall in your office and soak it all up, because you have so many fabulous gifts and tools to give to everyone on so many different topics. And I want to throw out all your information again for people to contact you. Again, your website is www.markgravel.com. That's Mark, M-A-R-C, Gravel, G-A-G-R-A-V-E-L-L-E.com. And also they can call you at 818-903-1821. And again, please take advantage of this Mental Bank program that you can access at mymentalbank.com for free. Free.
For free.
I'm going to check it out. Going to do it. Any tool one can have is perfect. And Mark, I want to thank you so much for joining me today on the show. It always goes by so fast. You have your delight.
You have
so much wonderful information to share with our listeners, and I hope we can do this again real soon.
Okay.
I love it. Please, if you'd like to, again, contact Mark. You can do it at his website at www.markgravel.com, M-A-R-C-G-R-A-V-E-L-L-E, our international hypnotherapist that will help you with relationships, insomnia, and so much, much more. And also, if you'd like to send me, Lauren Leibowitz, an email about Mark or anything about our shows here, please do so at goodvibeexperience@gmail.com. And please join me next time for another wild and crazy journey in someone else's shoes, when my guest will be Monique Bureau. She's an architect and jewelry designer of Adorn Thyself. This is Lauren Leibowitz, and thank you again so much for joining me and listening to How to Be Comfortable in Your Own Shoes. I'm going to leave you with Keith Chagall and She's Incredible. We'll see you next time, and I look forward to helping you find comfort in your own shoes.
Bye, Lauren.